Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh my goodness, hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke and welcome to our annual Krishmish special! Woo! And will you please keep that festive cheer going for Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins, here they are! Yeah! Oh my gosh!
Thank you. Woo!
Yeah!
Oh my God!
Who's ready to?
It's bright. Jesus Christ!
Yeah,
I can't see your face right there. Am I okay?
Normally, I don't want to have to do comedy 101. You don't normally mention that you haven't gotten used to being on stage before. most stages you go on, there will be light shining. That's how they can see us.
Oh my God! What is this thing I'm talking into?
This is all pretty standard stuff.
Oh, so, okay. Do we always wear these hats?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes. If you're doing comedy, which I think this sort of is. Well,
allegedly.
Can I say, Dave, you have never looked cuter.
Thank you.
My God.
Thank you. This is actually a good week for me. On Instagram earlier in the week, someone said, tagged a friend on a video we posted saying, "I can't believe how cool Dave is."
Yeah.
I took to take that in the positive sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm the cutest I've ever been.
Yeah. You're crushing it this week. Yeah. Matt, lift your fucking game.
Okay. I would make the argument that if someone's listened to you for thousands of hours and then after seeing you briefly, they're surprised you're cool. I'd be looking at that more negatively than...
And that's the fundamental difference between you and I.
I just went and got us all hats and this one... her head's too big for it.
Too smart.
Okay, great.
Oh my God. Okay, but the pressure is on.
If it fits, don't like make a big fuss about it, all right?
Yeah.
If it fits, you will be my bride.
That went on so easy.
I can confirm it fits.
That went on so easily.
Yeah.
You've just made a big mistake.
No, it's fine. I'm just going to sit here online. Every time I see it glimmering, I'll just go, "Oh, God damn it."
I also got bonbons because half our listeners overseas don't have these at Christmas. And I thought it would be fun to have them. And then I forgot that, no, everyone at the show today does have them. This is a show in Melbourne. So
that just hit you now.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll just put them over here.
Okay.
Oh, you don't want to have a go?
Oh.
Yeah,
really? Even if they know what they are?
Yeah.
I guess that would still be fun. Well, maybe I'll do one with my bride-to-be.
Hey!
I want it. For those at home, get used to losing and... No, Jess is shaking her head.
What the fuck?
Actually, no, I won the big bibby. You got all the... Oh, they're empty.
They got nothing in them?
So, that, okay.
Okay.
I thought they were surprisingly good value. And
so what's the point of
that?
That
is quite strange.
No, there's got to be something. Do another one. So for the people at home, Matt had a go. He opened one up and there's nothing inside it. Usually there's a gift and a little hat, maybe a joke.
Can't help but feel that's a bad omen for our nuptials.
She's not agreed to the nuptials. Hang on.
She put on the hat.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They don't even make a sound. Oh, hang on. This has got something in it.
Oh, there's something in it.
I think we just had one dud.
It's a dead mouse.
Oh,
has it got a little joke?
Yep.
Okay.
Dave, can you quickly explain for listeners who don't understand what's going on?
We've just popped a Christmas cracker, a Christmas bonbon. Inside there's usually a little hat, which Jess has got a purple one there. And there's always a joke or a riddle sometimes.
The hat's also never fit my head. Okay.
Such a big knob.
I've got a big head. My mum is a small woman too. It's really unkind. This is a good joke. How much does it cost to swim with sharks? Someone said a lot. An arm and a leg.
That is.
Now that got me in the Christmas spirit. I'm sort of reading the joke and people going, oh, it's like home.
But that, like, that's a lot of money. But be more specific, surely. Like, I want to.
Yeah.
How much?
How much? No, Matt, it's just a joke. It's not like a pamphlet.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like an absolute joke. I certainly won't be patronising them.
Oh boy. Shall we explain what this is?
Yeah, explain the show, Jess. What are we doing here?
Well, first and foremost, actually, give us a little cheer if you've never heard Do Go On before. A couple of people have been brought along. I know that's a scary question because you think I'm going to attack you. And I will. No. So if you've never joined us before, thanks for coming along. What this is a podcast where one of the three of us researches a topic.
Don't look.
It's on my iPad, genius. Yeah. I had to download the file for you.
I renamed it Dave Christmas Episode 2023 just so you wouldn't know.
Oh, that's not the topic. Okay, well then your guess is as good as mine. Anyway, one of the three of us goes away, researches the topic, brings it back to the other two who listen very politely and never interrupt with dog shit riffs. And it's Dave's turn for this Christmas episode.
Yes, would you believe this is our 9th annual Chris-mish special?
I can't remember last year.
Last year? Remember the Star Wars have holiday special?
We haven't done 9 Christmas shows.
I don't know, Dave, have we?
Yeah, this is
well, 9. I think one of the very first episodes we ever did was a Christmas one, so that was why, probably.
What?
And that was probably about 9 Christmases ago?
Yeah.
Okay, now it's starting to add up.
This is my longest relationship, and it is toxic.
All right.
You're doing a great job, Jess.
In our relationship?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to move forward slightly so I can see Matt's beautiful face. All right, here we go. So we always start with a question.
What about my face?
Your face was all I could see, and it was a bit much.
We've already talked about the size of your head.
Yeah, honestly, it was like this big moon right here. No, it's a beautiful face. Beautiful face. You have a face that's so beautiful it's off-putting. So
yes. That's great. Why I'm alone. Yeah, beautiful.
And now Matt has started leaning back and now I can see him even less than before.
Well, I'm worried about these people over here. If I do that, then they
can't
worried.
See
they're
you. They're getting a lot of face time over here. How you doing? The cutest I've ever looked. We should say Matt's wearing a Santa hat, Jess is wearing reindeer ears, and I'm wearing an elf's hat. That's why I look so freaking cute for people at home.
Mine had to be on a headband that's adjustable.
Yeah.
Because I have a gigantic head.
What size have you adjusted it to?
Max.
Yeah.
And even then, the pressure's a bit much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing's holding on for dear life.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get this over with.
Okay. My question is...
I might pass out. Yeah.
For the Christmas special, what now legendary event took place on Christmas 1914?
The war truce?
The war truce. The Christmas Day truce. Christmas truce.
It is the Christmas truce. Yes, I'm going to give it to you though. Well done. Well done.
I just wanted to say more words to see if I could get it right.
It's the Christmas truce of World War I. This being suggested by a bunch of people, including Nathan Parker from Colorado, Ross McFadden from Carlisle, ooh, Sam Jones from Kingswoodford, John Nassy from Calgary in Canada, Ezra Zoram Kenyas.
Oh my God.
From Hoofddorp, North Holland. It's exciting.
Incredible.
All of these sound fantastically made up.
No, don't worry. I'm going to read out one that you... It's definitely real now. Padraig O'Leoctra from Southwest Ireland. Scott from London. He's real. Alexandra Simonsen from Norway. So, and that's it. So no one from Australia wanted this, but here we are. Okay.
No one wanted this.
No one here wanted it. Now, the Australian War Memorial writes, Christmas and war are not compatible, but too often they are thrust together. So on this episode, it's quite violent.
Too often.
Yeah,
too,
that is one of the nichest porn search terms I've heard.
And you know something would come up.
Certainly would. Lobbing him over here.
On this episode, I'm going to look at Christmas time during wartime from 1899 to present, with, of course, a big stop off at the famous Christmas Truce of 1914. So let's get into it. Our first Christmas during wartime is 1899, during the Second Boer War.
One of my favourites.
Yeah, that's a great war.
Yeah.
By name alone.
Oh, but, yeah. I know nothing about it, but Boer War is
Boer
fun.
Boer War. Yeah.
And Boer War.
I'd go to the Boer War if I could.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you go to part one or part two of the Boer War?
Oh, I'd collect both. Yeah. If I could.
Sequels are never as good, so I'd go one.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid we're here. Start at number two in 1899. The war had just kicked off in South Africa only a couple of months before. The Boer War was a conflict. I know you know this, Jess, but for everyone else, fought between the British Empire and the two Boer Republics, the South African Republic and the Orange Free State, over the Empire's influence in Southern Africa from 1899 to 1902. And in 1899, right as things kicked off, the town of Ladysmith, southeast of Johannesburg, was under siege. And the Boers surrounded the town as the Brits were driven back into Ladysmith. It became a full-on siege that went on for nearly 4 months, and it's interesting to note that both Winston Churchill and Mahatma Gandhi were present at the siege.
Oh.
There you go. Churchill was a war correspondent, and Gandhi was a stretcher bearer.
Okay. Different roles.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite different.
Both equally important.
Hey, Jess, are you also picturing real Boers? One team of pigs versus English people. Actually, it's pigs on pigs then, isn't it? An English in. Absolutely got them a beauty there.
I was picturing really boring people. And also the Boers. English people, we're so sorry. So Ladysmith and its inhabitants were constantly under fire from guns, but they were also shelled from artillery. And on Christmas Day 1899, there was to be no truce. The shelling continued, but some of the shells didn't explode. This wasn't that uncommon, but when examined, one of the shells was found to contain a Christmas pudding, two Union flags, and the message, "Compliments of the season." So it was literally raining pudding.
Compliments of the season. I love that. It also feels passive aggressive.
Yeah, it really does.
I love it.
It does.
And it also had shrapnel in it as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and they'd go, "Oh, pudding," and they'd pick up the pudding and it would explode.
Yeah.
Ruin their famously already wonderful teeth.
They're really sticking the boot in.
I know. That's right. But if we were in England, we would not be saying anything.
No, no, no.
We're cowards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely cowards. Absolutely.
Big time.
Now, at least.
But we love Australia.
Yeah.
No, please. That's horrible stuff.
Now, it wasn't just one. At least three of the puddings were found. And that's not the only surviving Christmas pud from the Boer War. Thomas Ashford of the New South Wales Mounted Rifles took his 1901 pudding back home to Australia, great country, after the war. So he brought this pudding home and he donated it to the Australian War Memorial shortly before his death in the 1950s, where it remains to this day and is thought to be one of the oldest puddings in the world.
And we've got it.
We've got it. We've got it. Yeah, in England they ate theirs in the 1950s.
Yeah, not us. We've got the oldest pudding.
I had a similar experience just earlier today. I was around at Mum and Dad's, they were putting up their Christmas decorations. And Mum used to be a teacher, and one of her things she put on the tree, she realised had a chocolate treat in it, but she's been retired for multiple years. so it was open, and yeah, it was delicious. no, it did not look good at all.
You're not going to donate it to the Australian War Memorial?
Well, I didn't. Until now, I didn't know it would have any value. Yeah,
they'd take anything. So that's the Boer War then. The First World War kicked off in July 1914, and Matt's done a fantastic 3-part episode about what kicked it all off and what happened. But after the first few months, the Western Front across Belgium and France became a years-long stalemate of almost 500 miles of opposing trenches. It was muddy, at times hot, and by Christmas, freezing cold. Honestly, such a nightmare place to be at any time.
War.
Yeah, but specifically the trenches of the Western Front.
That is a hot take, my friend.
They were very...
Take me back to the trenches. War, not good, hey.
I would ponder, what is it good for? Thank you. Someone had to say it.
Someone had to say it. If we just shut up, he'll just keep doing little... He'll do all the jokes and the reading.
Great. Well, now, what is it good for? The military industrial complex.
I mean, without war, we wouldn't have the Australian War Memorial.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Or the oldest goes on. Pudding.
Yeah.
And it's worth it.
Exactly. In the end, it was worth it. That's what they were fighting for.
We wouldn't have the Anzac Day footy game.
Yeah.
My next sentence is, it was awful stuff. Thousands being killed every day on both sides.
We know, right? Can we collectively say we know?
We know. But what about...
So some of them had guns and they would shoot it at the others.
To me, that's not on. No.
Someone had to say it.
But what about Christmas, Jess?
What about it?
What about it? Well, as a little reprieve from the misery, in October 1914, England's King George V's 17-year-old daughter, Mary, launched an appeal to fund a Christmas gift for every member of the British Armed Forces. Shortly before Christmas 1914, advertisements were placed in the British press seeking donations for the Soldiers and Sailors Christmas Fund, and £152,000 was raised, which in today's money is over £15 million.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, ooh. Each soldier from this fund was sent a brass box that contained various objects. Smokers got 20 cigarettes and a yellow monogrammed wrapper. They got an ounce of pipe tobacco, a pipe, a Christmas card, and a photo of Princess Mary. Oh, that's gross, isn't it? She's 17. Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yep, that's worse.
Ooh. A non-smoker's gift was also produced if you didn't smoke, but these were made at a ratio of 1 for every 28. So out of 28 people, they expected 27 to be smokers. Inside their box, they got the Christmas card and the photograph of Princess Mary. Don't worry, they didn't miss out. But instead of smoking-related materials, it contained a packet of acid tablets, which I was like, oh, okay. Acid tabs.
Okay.
Interesting.
But have fun, boys.
Yeah, you just have... And then the commanding officer goes, now go that way.
Yeah.
It turns out they're a type of sour lemon-flavoured sweet. So they just got a block of candy. And they got a khaki writing case with pencil, paper and envelopes.
Mm. Very cute.
It is cute.
I'm going to go with you. Cute. I didn't know how I felt about it. I'm going to say cute.
Happy with that. The boxes were watertight, and even after the contents was used, they were great containers for their possessions and photos, and it became kind of like an iconic thing that they all carried everywhere.
Yeah, nice.
The boxes continued to be given out throughout the rest of the war. The final number being produced was over 2.6 million.
Wow. Did they do one for everyone's birthdays too? Yeah. They have a cake?
Yeah.
You'd get a little prezzy?
Inside a little box of cake. The idea of sending Christmas gifts to soldiers happened throughout the war. In Gallipoli in 1915, where many Australians...
Oh, that's us!
...were stationed for Christmas. Christmas goodies were packed in billies. For overseas people, that is an Aussie term for a metal container used for boiling water, making tea, or cooking over a fire.
Mm-hmm. It's also a term for a bong.
I actually didn't look into whether it was a bong or that kind of thing. All the boys get a bong. Light it up. And 1 in 28 were nerds and didn't want to smoke.
They just got more lollies.
Yeah, they got the lollies. Oh, fine, I'll just have the acid, all right. Up to 50,000 of these billies were given out, packed by female volunteers from the Alexandra Club, a private club for women based here in Melbourne. And they all had cartoons on them, on these billies. One I've seen is a kangaroo knocking out a Turkish man with its tail, and the caption reads, "This part of the world belongs to us."
Turkey?
Yeah. And these were given out in the Ottoman Empire, now Turkey. We'll have this.
Yeah. This is ours. Yeah.
The Australian geography curriculum wasn't so good back then. Yeah.
This is ours.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get it. Anyway. Huh. Inside, they also had tobacco and cigarettes, matches, knitted socks, a pencil, writing paper, razor blades, pizzeria. Sorry, got lost in the accent there. Cake. They had cake, Jess.
Yes.
A little bit of cake.
Famously a good travelling treat, the cake.
Yeah. It does hold up well.
Took months to get to the front line, a bit of cake. They also had sauces, pickles, tin fruit, cocoa, coffee, and sauces. I've already said that.
But it's worth repeating.
Yeah, actually.
For every soldier.
Yeah.
This is like a massive sack.
It's a lot of stuff, isn't it?
They were just really making Princess Mary look like a tight ass. And they also got Anzac biscuits. That's right. For overseas listeners who might not be aware, Anzac biscuits are associated with the Anzacs, as you would know.
It's crazy.
Which stands for the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, and they are made using rolled oats, flour, sugar, butter, golden syrup, baking soda, and boiling water, commonly sent to Anzacs as they last a long time. And they're still very popular in Australia and well protected too. Biscuit manufacturers must apply for Department of Veterans Affairs permission to use the word Anzac, which will only be granted if, quote, the product generally conforms to the traditional recipe and shape.
Oh, so you can't, like, go rogue.
You can't go rogue.
I'm gonna make it with cinnamon.
Yeah, that's not an Anzac
can't
Bicky.
Do that.
It's not. Mm. But before the Anzac, did you know this? I didn't know this. Came the Anzac tile.
Tile.
Tile. Not quite as catchy. It's also known as the Army Biscuit. Have you heard of these?
Oh, so it is a biscuit.
It's still a biscuit.
Yeah.
But it's called a tile.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not something you put on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. I thought they're sending them each one tile and then they have to band together to tile their trench.
That'd be nice. That'd be very nice.
Just a lovely subway tile.
Make it a bit more homey,
yeah,
you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I got a pink one.
You got trench foot, but don't worry about it.
No, so they're also known as the Army Biscuit. It's essentially a long shelf life hardtack biscuit eaten as a substitute for bread. And they could be a tile or a brick because they are so, so hard. They often had to be soaked all day in soup just to be vaguely edible. Like honestly, it would break your teeth eating these things. They're rock hard, but they last forever.
Sorry, Dave, my ears are burning.
Matt's parents are here.
What a joy an hour ago that you're all decorating the Christmas tree together. Lovely day for it.
That is a good reminder, thank you. Yeah.
It's always worth mentioning when one of us goes too far and then we go, oh no. Yeah.
So you got the Anzac tile.
Yes.
In 1915, Sergeant Cecil Robert Christmas...
Fuck right off. Cecil Christmas.
...wrote a Christmas card from Gallipoli...
Does he just call it a card?
That's good.
Cecil, I hate myself.
Cecil, what are you like? He wrote a Christmas card from Gallipoli on the back of one of these hardtack biscuits. And it was successfully delivered and has survived until today.
Oh, my God. Is it in the war memorial?
Yeah, it is. It's in the memorial.
They will take anything.
Yeah, they'll take it. And it reads, it's hard to read, but they've got a photo on the war memorial website.
Just because it's like the old-timey cursive, that's why it's hard. Cause it's just, not because it's written on a biscuit.
No, nothing to do with the biscuit, please.
It's a just, perfect surface.
Just the pen couldn't get on there. It says, Merry Christmas, and then in brackets, illegible. Prosperous New Year from old friends, Anzac, Gallipoli, 1915.
Wow. There you go, really heartfelt.
And that's from Sergeant Christmas. So good. So good.
What's his first
name? If the war memorial's listening, that's actually from all of us. forgot to get him something this year.
Now we go back to those horrible trenches of the Western Front. Remember, war is bad. Remember we established that before?
Yep, I stand by that.
And we go back for the first Christmas of World War One in 1914. This is when the famous Kishmish Truce occurred. Britannica writes, in early December 1914, an attempt was made to secure an official truce for the holidays. Pope... Do you cough every time I say the word Pope? That would be amazing. Imagine that. That would be lovely. Pope Benedict the 15th had transcended to the papacy just a month after the outbreak of war, and on December the 7th, he issued an appeal to the leaders of Europe, quote, that the guns may fall silent at least upon the night the angels sang.
I'm going to need that translated.
Yeah. Basically, can you just cut it out on Christmas?
Right.
Just have a fucking break.
Just, can he just say that?
Yeah. Not this guy. Benedict's hope was that a truce would allow the warring powers to negotiate a fair and lasting peace, but there was little interest from leaders on either side. So they said, absolutely not. But it actually occurred much more naturally. And it started on Christmas Eve 1914, Christmas Eve being a time for celebration for many in German culture. And obviously they're on the opposite side to the English and French and Belgian soldiers. As night fell on another long day of bitter fighting, the sound of German soldiers singing Christmas carols drifted across no man's land that separated the opposing trenches.
That's nice.
It is nice. The English soldiers heard this and they began to sing their own carols, and soon they were joining in together.
Oh, so now it's a song battle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Well, oh, Christmas tree! Oh, Christmas tree! Fuck you.
What? It was kind of because they did a bit of Silent Night and then the original version in German still knocked. So they'd go, your version, our version. Oh. And just as a side note, so it's originally written in German. The music was originally composed by Austrian primary school teacher Franz Xaver Gruber, Hans Bubi. And it was written to the lyrics of a priest, Joseph Moore, and was composed only a few hours before its debut at a Christmas Eve midnight mass in 1818.
Wow.
So he got given the lyrics and said, can you write something for mass tonight? And he wrote Silent Night in like 3 hours. Imagine.
Whatever.
And now, 96 years later, two opposing sides who hours earlier had been shooting at each other's heads were singing it together. Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice, Matt?
Ah, yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah. Just wanted to bring you back in for a sec.
Thanks.
You can zone out again now.
Some of the the weirdest thing is I can't tell if that's zoning in or out.
I'm locked in, Dave. Let's go.
Okay. Well, then
I'm rock hard and I can go for hours.
Jess, my parents are here.
Some of the English troops shouted out to the Germans, who in some spots along the line were as close as 30 metres away. So very close, and they can hear each other well. Many of the Germans had previously lived in Britain before the outbreak of war and spoke really great English, so the two sides were able to freely communicate in many spots. Some of the German troops had small Christmas trees, which were lit by candles, and these began to appear over the top of the trenches.
They have little Christmas trees.
Yeah.
How did this war keep going? How did they go back to war after this?
You like that guy's got a little Christmas tree over there.
German Emperor William...
That hurt my heart.
Oh, no, it's so nice.
That's so cute.
The Emperor William II had sent the Christmas trees to the Germans in an effort to bolster morale. He probably didn't expect them to share the morale with the enemy, though. Hey, we've got heaps of these. And as the usual rain gave way to frost, and in some places there was even a light dusting of snow, it was a white Christmas.
Oh.
Two very different reactions there. The next day, as the sun rose on Christmas Day, in some places the guns stayed silent and troops from both sides slowly and very cautiously came out of the trenches to meet and congregate in no man's land, for many getting their first proper look at the enemy they'd been shooting at only hours before.
Yeah, how do you go back to the next day? Like, okay, gonna kill you.
Yeah.
Because they would, until seeing them, they would have just been thinking about, you know, the propaganda caricatures of each other. They actually, we were just shooting at humans.
Oh, my God.
Why didn't someone say, I didn't want to kill humans. Oh, my God. I was killing the goblins. And
we thought you were werewolves. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And you're finding out some of them lived down the street from you.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, I lived in Leeds as well. Yeah. Oh, my God. Time magazine writes that in some places, Germans held up signs saying, you know shoot, we know shoot, which is lovely.
They had little Christmas trees.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
So they met in the middle and complained about the weather. You know how it is. Oh, my God. How about this mud?
Classic chit-chat.
They spoke of sweethearts back home they'd have to leave behind. They, of course, swapped cigarettes.
Yep.
Can't get enough. A little bit of alcohol. Some of the Germans had good lager that they were happy to swap. And even parts of their uniforms were swapped over.
That's getting weird. That's like the end of a footy game, but all of a sudden they go back to war and things are tricky.
Yeah.
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no, this looks bad. I am not them. Some even took photos together that survived to today, which you can see in the warm room. It's become my homepage this week. I love it. Can't get enough. You'll like this, yes. Some of the Germans who had lived in England before the war even asked their English enemies to pass on messages to friends and girlfriends that they'd met whilst working in England.
Oh, my God. I will, yeah, absolutely, after I kill you tomorrow. Yeah.
I'll pass it on. I read one place someone said they were a mechanic in England before, in Germany, before they, in England, they're German.
Yep.
And they said to one of the English, oh, I actually left a motorcycle in one of the lockups. Can you check on it for me? It's so good. So people are like, check on my girlfriend, my friend.
I think I left my oven on.
Yeah.
Could you check for me?
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, like, I think I did, but you know when you're just not sure? Could you send someone round?
It's probably fine. I was baking an Anzac tile, and they do need 300 to 400 days at maximum heat.
But we have time, and I do want someone to check. That's wild.
They also agreed to bury their dead, many of whom had fallen in no man's land between the trenches and had been impossible to get to. In at least one place, both sides helped each other bury their dead, marked their graves with wooden crosses, and then held a joint funeral service, first in English and then in German.
Oh, my God. And then had to go back to shooting each other the next day.
Oh, wild. There's lots of stories, of course. One English soldier reportedly got a haircut from one of the Germans who he recognised as the barber who used to cut his hair before the war when the German guy lived in England. I mean, hey, you're my barber! Can I get a short pack and size?
And I get that, because when you do find a good hairdresser...
It's so true.
You know? Yeah. The loyalty.
I haven't had a haircut in 2 years.
Yeah. That's fucked.
That is wild.
It's amazing.
There's often talk of an organised football match between the two sides. Some even recording that Germans won 3-2. But most historians seem to think that the proper game, you know, with 11 aside and referees and stuff, didn't actually happen. But it was more that in a few places they had a bit of a kick about with a few different footballers.
These historians English.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that actually didn't happen at all. That wasn't an official game. 3-2, that was one, informal side match, but yeah.
There was like 100 on their side, only 4 on ours. It's not fair.
It doesn't
fair,
count. Really. No, it was just for fun, just for fun. Don't worry about the score, whatever, just for fun.
It's actually so interesting. Now you say that, Matt, it was an English historian. I heard that from No, most historians agree. Seriously, it was. That's amazing. Now, it's important to note, as magical as this all sounds...
It sounds magical.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, like one of those...
Burying your dead and...
But like heartwarming, like unbelievable.
Yes.
Is maybe another way to say it. It didn't happen along the whole front line. It was very much, in certain spots, a series of unofficial ceasefires all happened, you know, organically.
You just got lucky on whereabouts you were.
Yeah. And wow. Sometimes it would be miles, in a row, but there was no official truce.
Because in some parts, Germans put up the trees and they got shot.
Well.
The trees?
Yes.
Let me read.
We lost 3 good trees that day.
Not the little, because here's what I'm picturing with the small trees, right? I am genuinely picturing like a full-size Christmas tree, but just like shrunk down. It's like this big, but it smells like pine.
Yep.
And it's just, it kind of like they're moving it and it, oh man, it's so delightful in my brain. My big, big brain.
Let me read something I'd written here, Matt. In one spot at least, one of the German soldiers held up his Christmas tree to start a truce. And one of the English officers ordered all his men to open fire on the tree.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree.
So in that spot, the truce ended very quickly. In some places, the fighting continued right through and there were still casualties. Just on the British side, 77 people still lost their lives on Christmas Day. But it was a lot lost. Sorry. I have lost the ability to speak.
My name is Michael Caine.
My problem is I've written the word lot twice and it's really thrown me here. But it was a lot less than the days before. I think I got away with that.
Yeah. It's a smooth recovery. That'll edit together really nicely, I reckon.
The truce mainly happened between English and German soldiers and was not widely adopted in French-controlled areas of the front. A lot of the front, they were fighting on French soil, and the fighting had been bitter, and they were like, well, you're on our, in our country, invading. So it was a lot more personal.
Mm.
So
this time.
This time. Yeah, it was. Even in the places that they held the truce, they knew it couldn't last, and many also used the ceasefire to improve and fortify their trenches. In some places, the truce lasted a few hours. In others, it was several days before the shooting started again.
How do you start shooting again? You know, like, who starts it? How do you go? It's been a nice couple of chill days. I've obviously done some renos on my little cutout of this trench.
A couple of new tiles.
Yeah, got some new tiles. Put up the Christmas tree. How do you just start shooting again?
Well, in a few spots, it began again in a very formal fashion. This is history.com. recounting this. Captain Charles Stockwell of the 2nd Royal Welch Fusiliers fired 3 shots into the air and raised a flag that read, Merry Christmas. His German
That's diabolical.
His German counterpart raised a flag that read,
Fuck you.
No, not quite. It said, Thank you. The two men then mounted the parapets, saluted each other, and returned to their sodden trenches. Stockwell wrote that his counterpart then fired 2 shots in the air, and the war was on again. Good day, sir.
And to you.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's wild. Even at the time, the soldiers knew what they were experiencing was very unusual. Henry Williamson, a 19-year-old private in the London Rifle Brigade, wrote to his mother on Boxing Day in his letter survives. In the memorial.
They got a lot of stuff. They're hoarders, I reckon.
Yeah. Have it clear out.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Have a fire
Does
sale.
It spark joy?
Yeah. Fortunately, this letter for me does. Henry writes, Dear Mother, I am writing from the trenches. It is 11 o'clock in the morning. Besides me is a fire. Opposite me, a dugout wet with straw in it. The ground is sloppy in the actual trench, but frozen elsewhere. In my mouth is a pipe Is he zoning in or out?
No, he's like, he's putting himself in the letter.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell this is in or out.
It's part of his process.
Right. So you're in
He's in.
You're in a wet muddy trench.
He's putting himself in the scene.
When I'm closing my eyes, I'm going into my mind palace. I'm going into the home cinema room and I'm putting on Dave Warnocky. Talking now images, and I'm seeing all sorts of great stuff, including a sloppy floor.
Yeah.
And now, when you interrupted, Dave was about to go into his mouth.
Yeah.
Which I thought it was, you really broke the tension there because I'm like, oh, what's it going to be? Oh, what's going to be in there? Is it going to be teeth? Oh, no, English people?
No. All right, he writes, in my mouth is a pipe presented by the Princess Mary. In the pipe is tobacco. Of course you say, but wait. In the pipe is German tobacco.
Ooh.
Ha ha, you say. From a prisoner or found in a captured trench. Oh dear, no. From a German soldier. Yes. A live German soldier from his own trench.
Ha ha, you say.
Yesterday, the British and Germans met and shook hands in the ground between the trenches and exchanged souvenirs and shook hands. Yes, all day Xmas Day, and as I write, marvellous, isn't it? I just love so much. Ha ha, you say. So good.
That was an awesome letter.
That was good.
That guy had skills. Did he... Is he still with us?
Yeah, he's in the war memorial. Despite going down as a legendary event, not everyone was a fan of the truce. Although some of those that weren't aren't really on the right side of history. There was a young soldier whose regiment went on the front line and engaged in the truce and met the enemy in no man's land. Now, this man wasn't there himself that day, but was very critical, saying, such a thing should not happen in wartime. Have you no sense of honour? And that man was Adolf Hitler. So if you hate the truce, you love Hitler. Just saying.
I love that there was a little, oh no.
Oh no.
Just at the mention of the name, oh no.
Don't let him be there.
Oh no.
The following year, strongly worded orders from the high commands of both sides were issued in the lead-up to Christmas, warning against further fraternisation. Some were threatened with court-martial if they laid down their weapons and embraced the enemy. They were probably worried that by meeting the men you're shooting at, you're less likely to want to continue doing so.
Yeah, fair. And they were worried that if the man you're shooting at stops to cut your hair and you're really happy with the finished product... And you have a previous relationship with the man because he's a human being who lives near you, that you might not want to kill him.
Yeah. I mean, you see someone shoot him and you go, oh, fuck, well, there goes my mad fade.
Great.
Oh. This is ridiculous.
Great. My hairdresser's a bit younger than me and I'm already worried about the day she retires. She's got me for life, whether she wants it or not. Yeah. And I worry about it. It keeps me up at night. I think, Shelley, don't you dare have a career change. I need this.
Your hair looks fantastic,
Shut
by
up.
The way.
I wasn't fishing.
So they might have thought that by fraternising with them, like I said, it puts you off shooting them. And they were probably right. British soldier Murdoch M. Wood, speaking in 1930, said, I then came to the conclusion that I have held very firmly ever since, that if we had been left to ourselves, there would never have been another shot fired.
Yeah, wow. So and here's the thing, like, you and I have fraternised a fair bit.
Oh, yeah. Should we say this publicly?
Over many... They've long had their suspicions. Over many years. But I would not hesitate in shooting you in the face. I guess I'm just not like other girls.
Wait, you're like in a war scenario when we're on other...
Sure. Dave, do go on.
I mean, I'm not even going to ask if you shoot me in the face. I think we all know. Okay. So after this legendary... Jess is nodding.
You...
So after this legendary but brief respite, the war raged on, and one of the few winners of the war was the Postal Service.
They've kept that up till today.
They loved it. History Extra writes, with so many men and women spending Christmas away from home, the demand for parcels at Christmas was greater than ever. Over the entire course of the war, the Army Postal Service sent 114 million parcels from Britain to conflict zones and 2 billion letters. Army postmen were dubbed Santa Claus in khaki.
That is fantastic. I like it because it's real snappy.
Yeah.
He just rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah.
Santa Claus in khaki.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Footballs, harmonicas, books were all sent in bulk. The Connemore brand offered cigarettes with a regimental crest embossed for the ultimate personal touch for absent sweethearts. Its slogan was, in trench, mess, or on board a ship, every smoke will remind him of you, the giver.
See, that's what war was good for. The cigarette business. Bringing lovers together. That's beautiful.
That is nice.
It would have felt... Oh, how good would you have felt putting that copy out as a marketer?
Yeah.
Would have felt real good, I reckon.
Would have taken a day off, I reckon.
Yeah.
As you wrote, the giver.
The giver.
With the white feather in your pocket for being a coward at home.
Some even got to go home for Christmas. Christmas leave for soldiers was an uncommon stroke of luck. In some cases, it was determined by drawing lots. Soldiers were relatively well looked after on the journey home from the front, thanks to the activity of a number of wartime charities. Delays in the post meant that some families did not get the warning of their loved one's arrival until they appeared at the door on Christmas Day. How amazing would that
be? That's better. You know, oh, but then you haven't made a bed for them.
Yeah.
And that's a chore.
Oh, yeah, the guy you're having an affair with still there.
Yeah,
you're like, that's awkward. Yeah.
Oh, I've got a new son now. But all good things and bad things must come to an end, including World War One.
I've never really thought about it like that before. That's great. All bad things also must come to an end.
Yeah.
That's fantastic
news. Wow.
Looking up.
So, just out of interest, how long have we got left today?
Here on the home stretch here.
Yeah, no reason.
But sadly, a few decades after the war, to end all wars, would you believe it? The next generation were back out there fighting again.
What?
This time it's personal.
World War II, back in the habit. What's the other one we like? Secret of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze. That's Matt's go-to.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a bit too real in this one, I think.
Rationing during wartime meant that a lot of everyday things were harder to come by during the Second World War. Bacon, butter, sugar, meat, milk, cheese, eggs, and cooking fat were all rationed, and this had a big effect on the traditional Christmas meal. Once rationing was in place, turkey was off the menu. So mock food became popular, with foods such as vegetables and sausage meat replacing turkey and other festive treats. They called them turkey, but they were often in reality a potato casserole formed into the shape of a bird.
I'm actually all for that.
But I don't know if it looks like a roast turkey or they tried to make it look like an alive turkey. Like, oh, I built a giraffe out of potato. Gifts were a little different too. The most popular Christmas present in 1940 was soap.
Yes, just what you want.
Now I've heard everything.
Later on, the use of paper was banned, so you weren't allowed to wrap any of your gifts.
Okay.
During World War II in America, Christmas trees were in short supply because of a lack of manpower to cut the trees down.
Well, they were cutting the tops off and sending them to the German soldiers.
Over to Germany.
It's so cute.
So because of this, Americans rushed to buy American-made artificial trees, and this is when those took off.
Ah.
Plastic ones. Over in Germany, Christmas was also a little different. According to history.co.uk, The Nazis weren't keen on a traditional Christmas, especially with its religious overtones. Instead, they promoted the idea of a Nazi Christmas.
Have yourself. I might not finish that one.
Well, during a Nazi Christmas, the Nazi party and Adolf Hitler were at the centre of celebrations. This is a really weird nativity scene.
Little baby Hitler.
People have been talking about killing you for years. Also, the fairies... This is also from history.co.uk, not my words. The fairies on top of Christmas trees were also replaced with swastikas.
Oh, that's... Beautiful.
Meanwhile, over in America, the National World War II Museum recalls fewer men at home resulted in fewer men available to dress up and play Santa Claus. Women served as substitute Santas at Saks's Fifth Avenue in New York City.
See, Dave, even they went to women next and not very skinny 19-year-old boys.
I don't know if you know a lot about the war, Jess, but they were the ones most busy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then we skip forward to the Korean War. In 1950, the Miracle of Christmas occurred, also called the Hung Nam Evacuation.
Why are you making that face, Jeff?
I wasn't expecting that after Christmas Miracle.
Christmas Miracle. No, it's genuinely an incredible story. The BBC published an article on the evacuation in 2013. It's pretty amazing. In December 1950, some 100,000 UN troops were trapped in the North Korean port of Hungnam. They had been overwhelmed by Chinese forces in what became known as the Battle of Shosin and were lucky to have made it out of the mountains alive. They had faced an army almost four times their size, but now there was only one way to get to safety, by sea, and they had very little time to do it as the Chinese were closing in. But the troops were not alone. Thousands of North Korean refugees had also fled to the freezing beach. Many had walked miles through deep snow with young children in the hope of being saved. They were cold, exhausted, and desperate. They too faced a pretty uncertain fate if the Chinese soldiers caught up with them. So 100 ships came to rescue the troops, but the refugees were not part of the plan. But I'm pleased to say they started loading them on anyway, thousands lining up to get on board. And the BBC writes, the biggest ship, the SS Meredith Victory, was designed to carry 60 crew at the most, and now it had 14,000 refugees on board, as well as the cargo.
Fuck.
And you see a photo, it is, they are packed in all across the deck.
And the boat is mostly underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rescue submarine at this stage.
And you know how I feel about submarines.
Yeah, it was the choice between dying again on the sub. You're just going to stay on that beach.
I don't dislike submarines. I just think they're silly. I just think they're very silly. They got a little periscope. It's dumb.
So there's that thousand people packed in. There was no food or water, but despite the bad conditions, no one died aboard the ships.
Wow.
All 200,000 people who had made the perilous journey to South Korea, half refugees, half troops, all reached land alive. And the population even grew on board, five women giving birth on the SS Meredith Victory.
Shit.
And this is probably a little bit racist, but the US crewman...
But he's going to persevere anyway.
You can stop there, though. You don't have to.
But yeah. It's got... There's a silver lining here. The US crewmen didn't know any Korean names, so they called each of the babies Kimchi 1, Kimchi 2, 3, 4, 5. And in the BBC article, they interviewed one of the babies. They found him. And he grew up to be a vet called Mr. Lee. And although he didn't like the nickname at first, he grew to be proud and thankful for his survival and now has a business card that says Kimchi 5.
Oh.
Isn't that just lovely? They are thought to be around a million descendants.
Did they not just ask the parents? Like, why did they have to come up with names for them?
I imagine there was
They literally just got born there. The mum couldn't have been far away.
Yeah. His name's Chris. No, it's not. There are thought to be around a million descendants of the Hungnam evacuation living in South Korea and the world today, including the parents of Moon Jae-in, who was president of South Korea until 2022.
Wow.
Wouldn't have been there without this evacuation.
That's cool.
Christmas miracle. Then came the Vietnam War, and on Christmas Day 1967, all Australian commercial and national TV stations stopped what they were broadcasting to air a special called Messages from Vietnam, an army film made of the soldiers sending festive greetings to their families back home. And the conscription for soldiers had only started the year before, or they'd only been sent to Vietnam the year before. In an interview with the Australian Women's Weekly, Major Alan Hines said, "We've made six separate programs for each of the states, recorded 265 messages, and at least 240 of these will be in the final program. So I'm not sure who didn't make the final cut. But I've watched some of the special, which is on the Australian War Memorial website. And for some reason, all of their voices are really high-pitched. I'm not sure if that's how people spoke back then or if it's just the camera, but one of the guys goes, 'Dad, have a bit of courage for us over Christmas and make it ice cold.'"
Cold.
It really,
we're a beautiful country. Yeah. Aren't we?
Tear to the eye.
Oh, the culture. The ice cold. Razor blood.
Let's go down to the pizzeria. Finally, in East Timor in 1999, 100 years after their soldiers in Ladysmith and the Boer War were showered with an exploding Christmas pud, the Australian troops were treated to another explosion, the rock and roll explosion of John Farnham, Kylie Minogue and The Living End. What a group.
It's an interesting mix. John Farnham, Kylie, like, okay, Living End.
Yeah.
All right.
This is as a part of the Tour of Duty concert for the troops. Doc Neeson from the band The Angels started it all. And Neeson also participated in the concert, which was held in Dili in East Timor, despite having been involved earlier in the month in a serious traffic accident in Australia, in which he'd suffered severe whiplash and serious nerve damage to his neck and spine. That's rock and roll.
Yeah.
During the concert, he performed a number of the Angels' tracks and duets with Farnham, Minogue and The Living End. And it sounds like such a great gig. It was emceed by Roy and HG.
Oh, my God.
Two of our absolute favourites.
We have lost it. We have lost him.
Well, HG. No, big fan. Love that. Love their
That's
work.
That's cool.
Kylie also performed Santa Baby and also Jingle Bell Rock with The Living End. And then on everyone...
That's
and then
so weird. Yeah,
she didn't perform any of her own songs. Everyone got on stage for these four final tracks. Imagine this. Everyone on stage. I Still Call Australia Home.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm gone. I'm crying in the back.
Oh, I thought you meant you'd leave. Can't stand it, piece of crap.
Then it's You're the Voice.
Oh, Jesus.
Everyone together. It's raining. All the troops are singing along.
Yep.
It goes off as always.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did a bit of A Long Way to the Top.
Yep, sure.
And finally, one of the Angels' classic tracks, Take a Long Line. And you're like, okay, that's a bit of a disappointment. But and now to finish,
it's a classic song. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I mean, it's hard following. I mean, You're the Voice should have really finished it all.
Yeah.
Up.
Let's be,
Well, you've got. Oh yeah, I was going to say, but you got Doc Neeson there. But
yeah.
I guess Fancy was also there.
And now to finish this, we will all stand and sing You're the Voice.
Now let's sing Take a Long Line.
You can start.
All their songs sound similar at the start. Na 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 na. I take a long line. I take a long line.
We've done it now. Oh no, okay, wow. It's our own Christmas miracle. Matt, shut the fuck up. Give it up for Dave Warnicke, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well done.
Thank you. What are you doing for Christmas?
None of your business. I will be on Christmas holidays and I am not to be contacted. Do you want to do another bonbon? Just to end
bonbon
on a joke?
Yes, okay. I thought you were about to pass over the billy. Yeah, you two can do one there.
Oh, okay.
You said you're bad at these, and that is so baffling. So I don't know how you can be bad at...
You're about to see how bad I am. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Told you.
At least they're starting to make noise now.
Jess has got a joke here.
Yep. Why is the beach always so confident?
Something about it being every time it puts its ear up to a shell, it hears itself. I was like, geez, I'm everywhere, I'm good. I don't know, how big is this piece of paper?
That's it. No, it's the answer is it's 100% sure.
That's good stuff.
That's not even true.
It's not. So that's
it has
confusing.
Doubt. We all do. We all do. Okay? And that's an unfair... I don't know who put these together, but I think that's an unfair expectation to put on the beach. You know how the beach has to be out here, always stiff up a lip going, yeah. Oh, I'll be right. If you need to talk, beach, I'm here. If you need to talk, beach, just hold a shell up to your ear.
And you'll hear me going, hey, you're all right,
hey, you're
bud.
Right there.
Hey, now, good on you, mate.
Now, good on you. You need a chat. I'm here for you.
You need a chat? Dave, I reckon food at home, he'll keep going.
Well, what's Matt holding there?
Oh. A little bit earlier, I had a tab of acid. No, Penny in the front row. Penny? Oh, my God. Fucking hell. I'm so bad. No, but gave me 3 Saints hats.
Oh.
Merry, truly a Merry Christmas. Look at these.
That's beautiful. Did anybody else bring gifts?
Yeah.
You said genuinely. I was joking, but that is very nice.
I do like that you brought 3 presents and they're all for me.
No, she's saying we can share, but I refuse. So don't put that crap on my head.
Yeah, usually
it wouldn't fit.
Well, we've had some fun here today. The 9th annual Christmas special, it comes but once a year, but what a...
Just like Dave.
Any day now.
Jess is, of course, rounding up there.
I don't know. Is it too late to put myself on a timeout?
I'll just wrap it up. Thank you so much for coming out. We truly hope you have a fantastic rest of the year. We really appreciate you coming out. We love performing here. Thank you so much to Basement Comedy Club and Carl Chandler for having us.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
A round of applause. For the bar as well.
Thank you so much. It's such a great place for comedy. They do comedy every single week here. Come on down. Check it out. Thank you so much. Once again, we love you all, and until next time, we'll all say
Merry Christmas!
Goodbye! Thank you!
That felt weird. Oh my God, how fun was that? I'm full of Christmas cheer from my toe to my ear.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And, We had fun there. All right, full disclosure, we haven't recorded it yet. Jess and I don't know what the topic's about.
But we will have fun.
We will have
fun. I promise you.
We're recording the Patreon section ahead of time. You know, just a bit of movie magic for you there.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that no little boys or little girls don't are walking out to their podcast Christmas tree and finding the cupboards bare. Jeez,
yes.
I've really muddled up a few.
Yeah, we're losing you.
Metaphors there. But anyway, what we're doing here I imagine Dave or AJ, our editor, will put on under some jingle bells here.
Oh yeah, just some like some of those Christmassy bells, please, AJ. Not for the whole thing, just a little bit.
I appreciate you putting it in terms AJ would understand. I said jingle bells, but yeah, you're right. Christmassy kind of bells is probably clearer.
They might call it something different over there.
Oh yeah, they brought jungle bells.
Yeah,
jungle.
Yeah, like the jungle drums. They have jungle bells.
Yeah,
in New Zealand. Anyway, this is the section of the show where we thank. And we do it differently this week. We thank our great supporters, but this week we do it with Christmas cheer.
That's right.
And if you want to get involved with supporting the show, these are the people that make the show go on.
There'd be no Christmas without these people.
There'd be no Do Go On. Mm-hmm. It would just be Do if it wasn't for them. Yep. And they go to patreon.com/dogonpod. And they support us on one of many levels.
That's where you go sometimes. You start talking here and then you end up here. And it must be a fucking nightmare for people in the car.
Well,
having to readjust the sound all the
AJ
time.
AJ fixes it. AJ levels me out now.
Because otherwise it's like... And
we'll always love you. Yeah. Whitney Houston, also a nightmare on podcasting. Just what are some of the things people can get involved in on that old Patreon?
Well, speaking of Christmas, they can get a Christmas card. Once a year, we send out a Christmas card.
They've been sent.
And it's hopefully a bunch have been received.
Yeah, it's not our fault that the Alaska mail is a little slow this time of year.
Okay. About that. It's not our fault.
Sorry, I'm a little defensive there.
But yeah, the Huskies are sledding them across to you.
They're doing their best.
Sorry, they're doing that with the life-saving medicine.
Yeah. We also do bonus episodes each month. You get early access to tickets to live shows and live streams and all sorts of fun stuff that we do. You get to be in the Facebook group, which is the nicest corner of the internet.
And the first thing we like to do is for people who've signed up on the Sydney Scheinberg level or above, they get to give us a fat quote or question. A section of the show we call Fat Quote or Question, mm-hmm. which actually has a jingle, I think goes something like this.
Fact, quote or question.
Jingle bell ding.
always remembers the jingle bell ding. Always remembers the sing. You too. Great memories.
Aren't we cute?
You're so cute. You're adorable.
I'm wearing overalls today.
You are.
I'm cute.
I'm wearing a Santa sack. Hang
on. I'm wearing a Santa sack? You're our little present. And I just made a call out for these facts, quotes, and questions live. So these have all come in hot off the presses.
Whoa.
So when you say you don't read them.
Hot off the pressures.
This is
the pressures. Precious. Come in hot off the pressures.
Are these like less read than they've ever been? Yes. You already say you don't proofread, but these are so fresh.
I sent out a couple of messages. The first one was saying, if anyone can do them real quick, we're about to record a Patreon read. And then I said, by the way, it's Christmas if you could do it. But I think that Christmas one came in too late. So sorry that these aren't the Christmassiest. Actually, one of them is. Anyway, I think.
Okay.
All right, here we go. And I haven't read them, so I don't actually freaking know. Anyway, this first one comes from Cheryl Engelsman. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
Great. And Cheryl Engelsman has the title Captain Sea Pants and the Kitty Cat Brigade.
Oh, Cheryl just had that ready to go. Like, you asked for this a few minutes ago. Yeah. Cheryl had that. Love it.
Banged it out.
So good.
And Cheryl has a question.
Love a question.
Writing, hey, guys.
Hey.
With the holidays coming up, oh, my God, it's a Christmas-related one.
Perfect. Well, she could be talking about a different type of holiday.
Isn't
Read
that funny?
On. Read
I just
on.
Said I don't think any of them are Christmas-related.
With my holiday to Thailand coming up.
Exactly. Let's find out.
I said when I said to in America.
Is my microphone on?
I met a couple of Arizonan women at a bar, and they were like, what are you traveling for? And I said, just for holidays. And they're like, what holiday? An Australian holiday or an American holiday? Thanksgiving or?
Yeah.
And it took me a while. I'm like, what are you talking about? Here? But I realized
vacation.
They didn't know. Yeah, they mean something else when they say
like, holidays. So which condo are you staying at?
Which is Jess's nickname for condoms, as we discussed in a recent episode.
Can I get you a glass of water?
Water. Hey, do you want me to break open a condo for you?
That's what I say. All right, Dahl, let's break open the condos.
All right, always be safe, Dahl.
Thanks, Dahl.
The condo's not on, it's not on.
Thanks
you know what
for
I
the
say.
Root, Dahl.
Yeah. Oh, great root.
Now root me real good. Are you ready to root me?
Dahl.
Dahl.
You got to say Dahl. It's romantic.
Starting to flame and crows. I'm having an orgasm right now, Dahl. I'm jizzing right up the chuff. Isn't this already full of Christmas cheer, this Patreon read?
Christmas cheers.
So, Cheryl writes, hey guys.
Once a year.
And Cheryl, of course, being one of the most Australian names there is. Cheryl. Cheryl. Shezza writes, hey guys, with the holidays coming up, I was wondering what your favourite holiday treats are.
Ooh.
Could be sweet or savoury. Mine would probably, I love when people who ask a question answer that question.
So beautiful.
And Shezza has done so. Could be sweet or savoury. Mine would probably be homemade pumpkin bread with butter. Oh my God, that sounds awesome. I've never had it, but I think I can picture it.
Love it already.
Cheers and thanks for all the great laughs over the years. Hey, thanks to you, Shezza. For the great question.
Cheryl, a fantastic question. I have an immediate answer.
Yeah.
Gingerbread. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem, right? Okay. There's two types of gingerbread. Coles, a local supermarket, brings out little.
And Woolworths. They're the two.
The big two. Coles bring out a little gingerbread. They're like little gingerbread people, and they bring them out around Christmas time. Sometimes it's just like a biscuit, like just a round, but sometimes it's a person. And I fucking demolish them. I'll buy a packet. I'll eat the whole thing in one sitting. Like it's insane. So I have to limit it, you know. But I will keep going to the supermarket to get them. Then I also have a recipe that I really like for like ginger biscuits, cookies, and I cook them. I bake them. There's heaps of them. I eat all of them.
Is like, that
I
why eat they're all called cookies? Because you cook them.
Whoa. Now you bake. I misspoke. Bake.
They should have been bakies.
They're bakies.
I think you can trace it back to the originator of the cookie. It is.
Oh, really?
It was.
Maybe when cookie I was looking from up, a country practice.
Maybe when I was looking up accidental inventions that came.
I love cookie as a nickname.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, so I have this recipe that I, but it makes quite a few cookies, and then I eat all of them in a very short period of time.
No, you bring some in sometimes.
Have I done that?
Yeah. Because
sometimes you say, bring them in, but I've already eaten them before.
I'm pretty sure I had one of yours last Christmas.
Yeah, because I tried it. I now have to ban myself from making them the rest of the year because I just demolish them. They're so, I love gingerbread.
Please bring them in this year.
I will.
Please.
I will.
What day is it today?
Well, we're recording this ahead of time. I probably already have.
Okay, thank you so much.
I need to clarify. I was talking about the chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, made by chocolate chip?
Yes.
Chocolate Chip Johnson.
It's claimed to have originated in the US in 1938 when Ruth Graves Wakefield chopped up a Nestle semi-sweet chocolate bar and added the chopped chocolate to a cookie recipe. So there you go.
And wait, and that so was to do with the name?
Chip is supposed to be the past tense of chop.
Yeah, oh. I chipped these. There I chip these really good.
Okay, I see.
What about you guys? What do you like?
I love a Christmas pavlova.
Yum.
Yes, please. With all the berries,
who
all
makes
the trimmings.
The best pav in your family?
My wife.
Really?
Great pav.
Are you talking your family of just you two? Or you're saying like even in the...
The family of Australia.
Wow.
That's how good it is.
Better than my grandma.
Yeah, sorry.
Holy
sorry,
shit.
Sorry, granny. I also love... I feel like I've talked about this recently either on pod or with either of you. The ham from Christmas, yes. The leftovers, the week afterwards.
What are we talking, Batoki?
Yeah. thanks to our sponsors, Batoki. Fantastic Christmas hams.
It's so good that they sponsored a podcast where two-thirds are vegetarians.
Yes.
Hey, Cheryl, you got a Batoki coming in the mail. Thanks so much for the question.
Yeah, love ham in the handbag, in the fridge. I love chopping off a bit of ham, munching it with my fingies, or putting it in toasted sandwiches.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love leftovers.
I would love to have that too. That sounds great. Quickly, the word cookie comes from the Dutch koek, meaning cake.
Oh.
In the diminutive form, little cake.
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of, because New York started off as a Dutch colony, that was it was traded to the Netherlands for islands in the spice, a few spicy islands. And that's when it changed from New
Holland?
New Holland?
What?
Australia was New Holland. It was New...
What?
I don't know.
New Amsterdam. And then it became... So a lot of... And that's like Santa Claus becoming Santa Claus.
Ah.
So a lot of English words came through America via Dutch origins for that reason, I think.
That's interesting. Is this from Bill Bryson?
It is from Bill
Fuck
Bryson.
Fuck me. Now, what's your favourite holiday treat?
This is pretty dull, but it's potatoes and peas and pumpkin roasted with gravy.
Yum.
I just love it so much.
Yeah. I love gravy.
And I love, you know, all the little, as a kid, I loved the advent calendar chocolates.
Yep.
So thin and crispy out of the fridge. They have that great crunch.
You had the advent calendar in the fridge.
Oh, yeah. What?
I'm sorry that
I'm a cold chocolate guy.
Sorry I didn't grow up with a house with a walk-in fridge. Those things are huge. Taking up half the bloody... Your mum's going, oh, where do I put the sausages?
And there's also four kids. There four advent calendars?
Yeah, yeah.
All in the fridge.
Or was there six?
And mum, we'd use the same one every year because mum would just melt down. She'd get cooking chocolate or probably different kind of chocolate and melt it down each year back into the little slots.
Oh, wow.
And I just loved it. So this little crispy. I love chocolate out of the fridge. I know I'm a bit weird in that way. Is that weird?
Yeah. It's actually not weird. I've now ate my chocolate cold too because my wife is so pro that I was like, well, this means more to you than it does to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is better, but you think it's way better. So now our chocolate is in the fridge.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I'm with your wife.
Yeah. Well,
you in every way.
I was meaning to bring this up with you more privately.
Well, I wish you luck with the Pavlova. It's worth it.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
It's worth ruining.
It's great. I want some of that
ruining our friendship for that Pavlova.
My grandma was famous for the Pav in our house, in our family. And, like, if somebody else made the Pav, we'd be like, oh, fuck. Mm. You know? But then when it was grandma's Pav, it was like, yeah, and you'd team up. It was the best.
My other favorite thing at Christmas time these days is, like, a real ridiculous fancy beer. I'll, like, collect a few stupid beers. I've got a few in the fridge that I'm probably going to bring around for Christmas Day, including one that's like a gatto chocolate cake stout or something. Pretty ridiculous. Anyway, share them with the old man.
I know we need to move on. My mum makes us drink out of like the good crystalware for Christmas.
I love the idea of making you.
Yeah, she really does.
It's gunpoint.
That's it. I'll have a can of something. I'm like, I can drink out of the can. She's like, no. Put it in a glass. So then we revolted by then putting silly straws in it. Okay. So we have these beautiful crystal stemware that they were given for like
stemware
30th wedding anniversary.
I'd love to know what Dave thinks that means after the dinnerware debacle.
Stemware. Stem cells?
Yes.
Yes. Wearable stem cells. thank you so much, Cheryl. What a great question. And I appreciate you getting us a holiday related question at short notice.
Yeah.
Great work.
Next one comes from Rachel Johnson, aka Princess Twinkle of Piperdale.
Oh, my goodness.
And you got to remember,
they're
coming up with these with seconds notice.
Incredible stuff. How snappy was that?
That was very snappy.
Whoa. Holy moly.
I'm a great clicker. Please continue.
And Rachel Johnson, who's one of our great supporters, as all these people are.
Yeah.
Rachel has a quote, which is, sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sits. And the explanation here is my mum used to say this when she came across me sitting around or when I came across her sitting around. It is generally attributed to Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, that's cute.
That is real cute that they would do it to each other. Very
sometimes
fun.
Sometimes I sits and thinks.
Oh, isn't that Courtney Barnett album is called that?
Sometimes and sometimes I just sit. Is that right? Yeah, sometimes I... What is that called?
Hold on.
I've got it.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I sit and think and sometimes I just sit.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the Winnie the Pooh version better.
You like the pluralizing sits?
Yeah. Yeah, it's cute.
Have a sit.
It's cuter.
That's how you know it was said by a stuffed bear.
Yeah, or a dog.
Mm.
If I fits, I sits.
I think Winnie the Pooh is a bear.
What?
I think I was right. thanks so much, Rachel, for that quote.
Poo dog, Winnie the Pooh dog. Come on, Matt.
Rachel Johnson also has my favourite ever nickname in this so far, which was just ham sandwich. It still makes me laugh. That is so funny.
I forgot about that entirely. Man, you love ham.
Yeah, ham on the brain.
He loves it.
Next one comes from Jess Green. Okay, expert of saying I have to take an important phone call whilst at work, but really I just saw Matt needed a fat quota question for an episode and ducked out.
That is awesome.
And Jess is asking a question, writing, hello. I assume that's Mrs. Doubtfire voice.
Yeah.
Hello.
For each of you to answer, this is a question. For one recording of one Do Go On episode, you can choose three people to sub in to replace each of you. It can be... just because you like them, you think they're similar to you, whatever reason. And as I always ask, a question asks us to answer their own question. Mm-hmm. Jess says, I would sub in Michelle Brazier for Jess.
Great choice.
The one and only AJ for Matt.
Ooh, AJ's getting famous.
He's going to love that.
AJ in HD on TikTok and Twitter. And Dave's wife for Dave.
Oh!
No follow-up questions, please. Merry Christmas. Oh, sorry. Merry Krishmish.
Krishmish. That's so funny.
Thank you, Jess.
I mean, she has appeared on Book Cheat.
Two appearances on Book Cheat now. Absolutely.
Yeah. So they've obviously, they've got a little taste. They like what they hear.
Mm. Yeah.
She's an eloquent woman. I feel like I'm hitting on her. She's an eloquent, sophisticated woman.
Dave doesn't mind. She's already been stolen from him.
I thought you sound like she's an elegant woman with money on her mind.
And I will say, yes, I do see women as possessions to be stolen. As a feminist, I'm allowed to say that.
Oh, who would you choose? So we're stopping
just ourselves or each doing three?
I think each doing three by the side.
All right, Jess, go.
I want to put in Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck it. I'm just going to go that entire sort of universe. Amy Poehler, Tina Fey. Maya Rudolph.
You got to say who's who. Maybe it doesn't matter.
I'm Maya Rudolph.
I'm Tina Fey, let's be honest.
Yeah, and you're Amy.
Yay.
Let's be honest. I don't know.
Just because I love them.
Okay.
So I would like to hear them Matt? Talk for a bit.
I would say, all right, let's go. Jess, Celia Piccola. Ooh, Dave, yep. Steve Buscemi.
Yep.
Me, Captain Snooze. Rod Quantock.
The big three. All right.
People that we've been said similar to in the past. And I think that would make a great... That would be a sick podcast. I'd love to listen to that.
That actually would be awesome. I'm going to say three first names only because it's all that's required.
Cher.
Dick, Barry, Shane. Dick Van Dyke, Barry Van Dyke, Shane Van Dyke.
Sorry, excuse me. You said first names only and we got it.
Yeah. And who's who? You pointed at me for Dick.
Matt's Dick, obviously the oldest one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jess, you're more of a Barry energy.
I agree.
And I think that I am the Shane of this group.
Does that mean you're my son?
Yes.
That is. Tracks and call me Daddy. Can I change my name in the group chat to Daddy, please?
Daddy Warbucks?
No, just Daddy.
Daddy Barry.
Please.
Daddy Van Dyke?
Neither of you have said yes, so I'll leave it.
No, I think yes. I think you can. Yet again, giving yourself her own nickname.
Daddy. That's so funny.
Okay, Daddy.
In our group chat, it's going to say, Daddy has messaged Super Pot of Dreams.
Hello, Daddy. And then what am I now?
You're Bulge. Dick Trench.
Dick Trench.
I'm Dick Trench.
No, Dick.
Dick Bulge Trench.
Dick Bulge Trench.
Dick Gulp Trench.
Yeah.
That's right. The gulp.
Is that from an episode that's come out yet?
Nah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The last one. Thank you so much, Jess, for that. What a fantastic. I'm so glad you pretended to have an important call. And finally, this week, from Jacoby Austin DeAngel, a.k.a. Nog Boy, in brackets, always room for Christmas Nog. And Jacoby, so I think this one might be Christmassy. Jacoby's got a quote as well, writing, just throwing this together to try and make it into the Christmas episode. And by
and
George, you snuck it in.
Well done, Nog Boy.
I've got one quote for each of you from the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Matt. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
That's great.
Oh, Dave gets the good one. Hans, booby, I'm your white knight.
I'm your white.
And Jess, of course, the most iconic of all. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yes, I got yippee-ki-yay.
Merry Christmas from Jacoby and Margaret in Sacramento, California. Go Kings, which is a definite current sporting team.
Yes, they play basketball, we believe.
Very relevant team. I'm sure they're doing well.
How could anyone ever overlook the great Sacramento Kings?
Go the Kings. Go the Kings.
I don't understand what's happening.
You're the King Kings.
There was about a year or two ago, we were recording an episode of Dave's Plays. You might not have been there, but I said something, oh, Sacramento, go Kings. If that's still a team, is that a team? And then we realized that they are still a team. And a few Sacramento fans got in contact with us saying, like, we never left.
Are they still a thing?
I'm like, okay, well, me and Dave kind of follow basketball a bit. We should know that they're an existing team.
How do we not know the 1951 NBA champs?
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, thank you so much for those fact quotes and questions. All very Christmassy from Jacoby, Jess, Rachel and Cheryl. Rachel's probably wasn't technically Christmassy, but what time of year is better to sits and thinks than Krishmish time?
There is no better time to sits and thinks. It's some of my favourite time to sits and thinks.
Oh, my God, it's the best.
Well, actually, I just sit.
Can you? It's going to be so good. I mean, you two, I'm already there. To be the old generation, you know, the grandpa generation of the family thing where you get, there's a chair you have.
Yes, and no kids are allowed to sit in your chair. Yeah. I'm thinking of Grandpa's rocking chair. It was a comfy chair, and we wanted to fucking sit in it.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, my granddad had a grandpa did too. Our nana's reclined out as well.
Yes.
Holy shit.
So good. It rocks and reclines.
That was right. That was towards the end. And what a chair. What a way to go out. The next thing we like to do is thank a few of our other fantastic Patreon supporters. Jess, you normally come up with a bit of a game based on the topic at hand.
You will never believe this.
Because we don't know the topic.
That's right. But I have found an elf name generator. And to give you an example, you have to put in first and last name. I've put in mine. Jess, your elf name is Bauble Grumpy Bottom.
Oh, my God.
So I think this is going to rule.
I think we found your new nickname.
That is, yeah.
No, I'm
sorry, Daddy.
I'm leaving it to Daddy. I want Daddy forever.
I'm leaving it to Daddy.
Leaving it to Daddy. Oh, Daddy.
All right. So, Dave, you want to go one for one here?
Absolutely. I would like to thank from Matlock. I can assume only assume they have the Matlock Expressway in Great Britain. It's Gus Nicholson.
Gus's name is Bell's Marshmallow Lips.
That is not an elf name. That's a porn star name.
Bell's Marshmallow Lips.
Holy shit, that's fantastic.
This fucking rules.
I want you to have a go with mine at some point as well.
I will.
Next up, I'd love to thank from Vancouver in British Columbia, I reckon, BC, Canada. It's Zach Tillipore.
Okay, I'm on it. Hang on.
You happy with that pronunciation there, Dave?
Tillipore. Tillipow.
Tillipow makes a pow, pow, powerful pow. Remember that?
Tillipore, paw, paw makes a powerful paw.
That was like a herb.
Oh.
Herb pow.
Zach's elf name is Mistletoe Grumpy Pot.
Oh.
Lord Grumps.
Yeah.
That's mistletoe. Weird. No, there's no criticizing the elf name.
I'm not criticizing.
Well, I'm hearing criticism.
No, I'm just wondering. Are elves a famously grumpy species? Are they a species?
Yeah.
Just moving on,
they
mate.
They're
their own thing. They're not human. They're like human adjacent. Are they the missing link? I know, scientists, there's no real missing link. I got told off once before, and I made a big deal out of it on primates, and the person who messaged me is like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to. I mean, I wasn't making a big deal out of it, but I like to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there's not a real.
All right. I would like to thank, from location unknown, a big shout out.
What's the Christmas version? I reckon the North Pole.
Well, it's probably the South Pole. All the way down.
Really?
Whoa.
The least Christmassy place
in
the world.
Yeah, exactly. Deep within the fortress of the South Pole, it's Joe. And Joe, just so you know who you are, it looks like your last name begins with an S from your email. Just want to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Joe, everyone is called Joe, can assume it's them.
And maybe you were born, maybe you'd be about the age of, 31, maybe, based on your address, number.
Your email. And you're...
Or you're quite elderly. One of the two.
Elf name is Syrup Grumpy Bow.
It's grumpy again.
A lot of grumpy. Let's see if we get anything different.
Syrup Grumpy Bow.
Yep.
But I think in elfish society, it's much like Australian irony. You know, you call redheads are bluey, happy people are grumpy.
That's right.
Gotcha. So you really want to watch out for the happy people.
Yeah.
If I can keep us going here, from Hawthorne East here in Melbourne, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Can I thank, any relation? Lauren Van Dyke.
Wow, Dick Perry, Shane Lauren.
Lauren, do you know Dick?
Well, Lauren's elf name is Zippy Rainbow Bum.
That sounds like a niche disorder.
Zippy Rainbow Bum. There's only 3 known cases.
Yeah. Do you have IBS? No, I have ZRB.
Rainbow Bum. I love it.
Hey, I would like to thank from Gig Harbor in Washington, the United States, Christine Kissman.
KK, very Christmassy.
Very Christmassy. Yes. I'm just generating. Okay.
Do you think the Ku Klux Klan does KK?
The KKKKK?
Do you think they do? Because that's like a Christian. It's some sort of a Christian society, isn't
it? All right,
it,
guys. KKK? Names in the hat. We're gonna draw the KKKKK.
And secret. They do Secret Santa over there. They call it.
Yeah.
So it's
not
probably
KK.
The KKKSS.
Oh, it's It's not as fun, is it?
But they would love SS over that, them in particular.
And Christine's elf name is Bling Sparkle Pot.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. That might be one of my favourites so far.
I think they might be probably the celebrity of the elf community.
Everyone's like, fuck, and you know Bling's here?
Nothing blingier than a sparkle pot.
No. Can I thank, from Cambridge, probably a big brain person here in Great Britain, it's Tim Wright.
Generating.
I don't want to be Tim wrong.
Starlight Sugar Stitches.
We are cooking now. We are starting to cook.
Starlight Sugar Stitches.
Yes, we're on a roll now.
I'd even accept Sugar Stitch. I think I like that better.
All right, Sugar Stitch.
Or I like Sugar that. Sticks. All no, of these are great.
You've ruined it.
No bad ideas, but
how
that sucks.
Fucking dare you.
Hey, I would like to thank from Colfax in North Carolina. Pause for fun fact.
North Carolina. Oh, that's where Venus Flytraps originated from.
Fantastic. And I wonder if he's ever been caught in one. It's Adam Coe.
And Adam's elf name is Wham Rainbow Box.
That's an even more niche disorder.
Wham, right in the rainbow box. Yeah.
I hope no one's playing Whamageddon. Would that count as being outed now? Just hearing the word Wham?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank God.
If you imagine the concept of Wham.
if you're whammed, if anyone is whammed near you. Second last this week, I'd love to thank from Skelmersdale.
Skelmers.
And maybe Lancaster in Great Britain. It's Rowan D.
Or is it Lancashire?
Lancashire.
Let's find out. I'll look it up.
Well, yeah, that makes more sense because, yeah.
Rowan's elf name is Gassy Little Hat.
There's a lot of arse sort of related.
Elves are very arse focused.
Yeah, yeah. Dave, who's the final one here?
Finally, location unknown, also hanging out on the South Pole, it's Ale Cliff.
Oh, my God. Ale Cliff sound, that could be an elf name as it is.
Or Ally Cliff.
Mm.
Ally Cliff, a little beer elf.
And the elf name is Peppermint Fluffball.
Oh, I like that one a lot too.
Now, yes, Matt, I'll do you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'd like to know too.
Hang on.
While Jess is bringing those up, Dave, do you want to explain to the listeners what the Triptych Club is, which is the next thing we get into?
We're about to welcome some people into the Triptych Club, people who have been supporting the show on the shout-out level or above for 3 consecutive years. We enshrine them in our beautiful clubhouse. We welcome them in. Once you come in, you can't leave, but why would you want to? Your name's up on the wall. The bar is open. It's free. Jess is behind there having snacks and drinks. I book a band. Matt is the sort of on the door. Mm. On the MC, welcoming you in. It's a lovely place to be.
I've made a candy cane cocktail. Really? And it's quite... You're going to get fucked up, but right. It's going to be delicious.
Sugar and alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I've made a few batches of my ginger bickies, and I'm going to need your help getting in because I don't...
And they're hot out of the oven, aren't they?
They're a bit hot.
How hot?
They're honestly too hot. I've done it again. They're too hot.
I don't know. Do you think it's time to move on from your industrial oven?
That was one of the hardest I've ever laughed, is the soup that was too hot. Sorry to interrupt quickly. Matt, your elf name is Vanilla Tinsel Bum.
Yeah, can you? I'm on the door. I'm Vanilla Tinsel Bum.
That feels right for you. I don't know why. And Vanilla feels right.
Before Dave comes up to MC the show, can you bring him up?
Yeah.
With his elf name?
Please welcome your MC for the night. Hyping you up, it's Chestnut Angel Lips.
Pleasure to be here. And after we welcome these people to the stage, we'll be welcoming to the stage our musical guest this week, performing their Christmas album in full with full live band. Harry Connick Jr.
Whoa!
Is here.
Wow. And without knowing what this episode was about, I wonder... Is that relevant?
Or was he the co-host in the project last night where I was doing warm-up?
And he's just fresh on the brain.
Harry Connick's been brave enough to come back to Australian live TV after...
what we did back. To him.
Yeah.
And was there any blackface last night?
There was zero blackface.
Yeah, I think he probably now checks that before. Yeah. He's like, I didn't used to think I needed to check that before doing TV. But
you'd be surprised.
We must stress, he was once invited on Hey Hey on Saturday, and it was way too late for this, like incredibly awful.
Yeah, it was
beyond the millennium.
Like 2010, 10 or something.
Yeah.
Invited on Hey It's Saturday, which was a variety show where they have a throwback
to a show from the 70s and 80s.
And they have like a gong segment where like a talent quest, and he was one of the judges, and some people came out in blackface.
Yep.
And he called it out. Objected.
Which was absolutely right.
But they were back. They were on the first run of the show. They were on and were very successful, and there was no controversy. Yeah. So they brought him back, and Daryl, the host, was like, oh, geez, I'm so sorry, Harry, if you've been offended.
Yeah, it was a really beautiful apology.
Anyway, but he's here performing in full tonight.
It probably brought Australia slightly forward into the
Yeah, and we thank him. We owe him that.
And Dave, I really hope your week word play this week will be Christmas related. Is that fair to say?
As
I bring in the inductees?
Cool. We'll see how we go.
All right, Dave, I really think you need to do that.
Okay, here we go. Let me try.
Sick of him.
And Jess will hold your hand through it.
I'm always holding his hand.
Okay. So, we got four inductees this week. So, get in and let Dave hype you up. Here we go from Arlington in MA in the United States. It's Daisy Chow.
Daisy Chow down on this roast turkey.
Yeah.
From Edinburgh in Scotland, it's Joe Greenan.
Joe!
Like ho, ho, ho.
Oh, that's actually good. I was going to say
Green and red.
Joe Green like a mistletoe.
I think mine's better.
What if I give it the full Joe Mary Greenan.
Oh, yes, that's it.
From London in Great Britain, it's Ellie Gleave.
Ellie, take it or gleave this fantastic present I've got you.
Make sure you gleave out some carrots for the reindeer.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty good.
Finally, from London in Great Britain, it's Robin Keast.
5 golden rings, 4 calling robins.
And enjoy
and
this
Christmas Keast
feast.
Yes, yep, yeah.
Keast, okay,
honestly,
great.
Dave, Jesus Christ.
They all fell like they were right there.
No, you did great. That was pretty good. We love you.
Thank you so much and welcome in Robin, Ellie, Joe,
Jesus Christ,
and Daisy.
Don't make it look easy.
Merry Christmas, one and all. Is there anything we need to tell people before we go, Jess?
Just that we love them. Remember that. Say it to yourself as you go to sleep tonight. They love me. I am loved. And that you can suggest a topic over on our website. There's a link in the show notes as well. You can find us on social media at DoGoOnPod. And Dave, boot this baby home.
Hey, we'll be back next week with another fantastic episode. But until then, thank you so much. Merry Christmas and goodbye.
Laters, Merry Christmas.
AJ, put in some Christmas bells here as well. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.